The 1330 WNTA. Welcome. I'm Ken DeCoster, and we're going to start with a very special guest, the congressman from the 16th district in the state of Illinois. His name is Don Manzullo. How are you?
How are you doing, Ken?
Fine. Now, you weren't the guy who was shouting, "You lie," were you?
No, that was extraordinarily unfortunate. That was Congressman Joe Wilson.
Yeah, I was just teasing.
South Carolina, and he shouldn't have done that.
Don, it appears the House will not pass health care reform legislation that does not include a public option, while the Senate won't pass a reform bill that does include a public option. Ultimately, will a reform bill include a public option? In your view, what impact would the public option have on the private insurance industry and Americans' access to quality health care?
Well, Ken, first of all, your analysis is correct. That's what the House will do and won't do, and what the Senate will do or won't do, although who knows what's going to happen in the Senate. That's a very unusual place. The problem is this. What the public option does is it sets up this framework for what is indeed a government-run insurance company. That's why it's called public. It used to be called the government option, but now they call it the public option. And under the H.R. 3200, which is the only base bill that's out there. See, the problem with the speech last night is I was sitting next to a Democrat, and we looked at each other. We did not know the reference to which President Obama was making. But he said, my plan. Well, we don't know what that is. So we have to presume it's the only plan that passed the House.
Mm-hmm.
And the public option in H.R. 3200, plus really in any of the other theories that are out there, would end up being the most competitive and the cheapest insurance that's available. And that being the case, it'll become the default insurance and then wipe out private insurance companies. And then you're down to a single government-run insurance company, and then you end up with what Canada has. But the president last night was very clear that he didn't want a system such as what Canada has. So we've got this total confusion going on now. Our goal, my goal in going into the speech was to have the president clarify what he wants to do. And he could have said something, for example, there are 10 points involved in this insurance reform and medical insurance reform. We're going to break it into 10 separate bills, 10 pieces, and then see if we can get Republicans and the Democrats to agree on, say, 6 or 7 of those. And that would be a significant step towards bringing down the cost of health insurance, making insurance more affordable, making sure that people that don't have pre-existing illnesses are not turned down, making sure people that are canceled arbitrarily, that experience doesn't happen anymore in America. That's what we thought. That's what happened with the contract with America, when we had actually 10 separate pieces of legislation, and President Clinton signed 85% of the contract with America, including the massive welfare reform. I thought that's what he was going to do, but instead last night it ended up being more confusing as we left, and we're just quite disappointed with that, especially since probably 100% of Americans and all the members of Congress agree on the basic goals that the president set forth.
The president said he won't sign health care legislation that adds to the nation's budget deficit. Is that realistic?
No, it isn't, because the first thing his bill does, that's H.R. 3200, as scored by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. And the director of that is a man by the name of Elmendorf. He's a numbers cruncher,
yeah.
A professional. He's appointed by Speaker Pelosi. It's a very nonpartisan organization, and they're the ones that said that over the next 10 years, this thing could run to $1.6 trillion in additional spending. So even the internal figures of Congress on a bipartisan basis, but a nonpartisan basis, showed that the outline that he had last night simply is not affordable.
Our guest is Congressman Don Manzullo. We have very limited time with the congressman. We're talking about the president's speech last night to a joint session of Congress. Should you have any questions or comments for Congressman Manzullo, you know the phone number. It's 874-8255. Don, in your view, should every American adult be required to carry basic health insurance?
I don't think you can force people to buy insurance. I have a problem with that. It's a lot different than an automobile, where you're out there and you can injure somebody else. I don't go along with the comparisons on that. And even though there is considerable cost shifting because of the uninsured, it's not a matter of forcing people to get insurance. The issue is making the system so that people will choose to get insurance, for example, as opposed to paying income taxes. I mean, there are 9 million people who earn in excess of $75,000 a year who don't have insurance. Most of those, Ken, are self-employed. In fact, all of them are self-employed. And even if you're making $75,000 a year, the basic cost of a family insurance policy today in America is somewhere around $1,200 a month. It's still a huge amount of money. Well, people should have the option of either paying income taxes or paying health insurance premiums. And once they're given that option, you know they're going to do.
Should large businesses be required to provide insurance coverage for their employees?
No, large businesses already do that because it's just good economics. I mean, you can't be a large business and be competitive in terms of trying to get people to work for you unless you also offer an insurance policy. The insurance as a benefit.
The president has endorsed the idea of taxing insurance companies in a way that targets the so-called Cadillac plans that offer the most generous benefits. Mm-hmm. Is that a good idea?
No, that's not a good idea. The biggest objection should be coming from the rank and file of the unions. The unions have very adroitly negotiated their contracts so that instead of getting increased wages, they get increased benefits under health insurance plans. And the unions have some of the finest insurance plans in the country. And I've got 3 articles here I can't show you over the telephone, obviously, that talk about the fact that the sector of the community that would be most impacted would be, you know, the guys that work for the multi-billion-dollar companies that really do have Cadillac plans, plus the labor unions. And I don't think that the people who belong to labor unions are going to appreciate the fact that they have to pay taxes to go into what's called the health insurance exchange in order to make insurance affordable for everybody else.
Well, politics.
That's a bad idea.
Politics aside, Don, in your view, what would be the most effective way to curb the cost of health insurance, which is outpacing our wages, I believe, 3-1? Realistically,
right.
What's going to get done?
Ken, the first thing we have to do is before we can curb the cost of health insurance, we have to curb the cost of health coverage because that's absolutely essential. You do that in several ways. The first way is to when you create large purchasing pools, these association health plans, when you create a very, very large pool, you get rid of the problem of people not being able to get insurance because of pre-existing illnesses. Second of all, you don't have the situation with people being arbitrarily bumped off because, you know, it's kind of hard to believe the president's statement that somebody was denied coverage for cancer because they didn't disclose acne. Well, everybody has acne. But when you create the large purchasing pools, it makes it much easier for insurance companies to administer the plan because they don't, because everybody essentially comes in on the same basis. You have the same rating across the country. It brings down the cost of health insurance by bringing down the cost of the administration of the health insurance. And the second thing is you have to have some meaningful tort liability. I mean, I've got, you know, doctors and doctors. In fact, one's stopping by this afternoon at 3 o'clock talking to me about, you know, what does it mean when doctors have to pay these huge amounts of health insurance? Of liability insurance premiums. It's not just the fact that the premium gets passed on into the cost of health services. It's the fact that doctors are actually given a directive as to defensive medicine that they have to practice based upon what other doctors did not do in other lawsuits and were nailed with large verdicts.
This has been discussed for several years, though. Realistically, are the lawyers simply too powerful for meaningful tort reform to get passed?
Well, that's one case, but, you know, Wisconsin had a very powerful bar association. Wisconsin has had meaningful... We have to realize there are cases across the country where there have been horrible accidents, horrible cases of medical malpractice, and that people are entitled to compensation, in some cases extensive compensation, because people could end up in a coma or something like that because of a mistake that happened. You know, so we have to make sure that the people that are truly injured, or the kin that are suing, that there is an adequate system of compensation for people that are the true victims of medical malpractice. But we also realize that there are a lot of cases that are brought that should not be brought, simply because there's no basis in law or fact. And that's where the doctors end up practicing this defensive medicine. In fact, if you go to Wisconsin, the cost of medical liability insurance there is one-third to one-half what it is in Wisconsin. In Illinois, it's about $150,000, depending on the profession. Wisconsin, it's about $40,000. A neurosurgeon in Rockford told me that his medical liability insurance is $500,000 a year.
Wow.
And that's why you don't find any neurosurgeons south of I-80 until, you know, if you, God forbid, you get in an accident. Either you're going to be brought to Chicago or to St. Louis.
What about health care reform, if possible, including more incentives for people to stay well and people to for personal responsibility?
Well, absolutely. I am a big believer in preventative medicine.
Sure.
I've been a big believer in the DARE program. People say, well, you know, the rates of kids on drugs has not come down. Well, how do you know it wouldn't be higher if you didn't have DARE? And that's why I've always been a big advocate of prevention programs. Being Italian American, raised in my brother's and my parents' Italian restaurant, I always have a big problem with trying to bring my weight under control. But certain things I've learned, for example, whole wheat pasta is a lot better for you than regular pasta. Whole wheat breads. I mean, just simple things that we can incorporate into our diets just very simple steps can bring down the rate of obesity.
The Register Star had a group of residents watch the president's address last night and then quoted some local people, including somebody I know, a doctor, Bob Jarrett, who said, quote, "I really do feel that sometimes people who have insurance feel entitled to use it indiscriminately. People need to take responsibility for their own health care."
Well, that's exactly what's happened in Japan. Japan has a universal health care system that's going broke. Japan has three times as many hospitals as the United States. Three times, Ken. As many hospitals as the United States. And there was an article that appeared in the Washington Post, I believe in the Sunday edition, that talked about a lady who every flu season, she takes her son to an ENT once a week. And she said, well, because it's free, you know, I don't have to worry about the number of times that I go to the doctor, and usually I don't have to wait more than an hour. Well, that's really not taking responsibility. If your kid's sick, you take him to a doctor, but you don't overuse the system. And I think that may be the reference to which that one person in that focus group had. Would that be correct?
Yeah. The vice president today predicted some sort of health care reform bill will pass before Thanksgiving. Do you share his optimism?
Well, I would hope so. But what he's going to have to do is find, the president has to find common ground, not only with members of Congress and the Republican side, but the battle is going on within his own party. There are probably 50 or 60 so-called blue dog Democrats who are really listening to the people at the town hall meeting. I mean, I've had, gosh, we're going to, I lost track. I think we had seven official town hall meetings. We had to repeat the one in Rockford three times, one in a tiny Elizabeth, Illinois. We repeated that another time. We're going to be in McHenry County again this month, meeting with all the people. But the American people are very savvy. They understand that we have excellent health care in this country. And the problem is not with the health care. The problem is with the delivery of the services, the cost of the insurance policy, the fact that people are rejected because of pre-existing illnesses, and the fact that people are terminated because of some reason and they're left without insurance during the middle of some type of a treatment. The American people understand it. They also understand the fact that what the public option does is that puts the government in control. And I tell you, Ken, after the way that the federal government screwed up both GM and Chrysler, I mean, really, you know, why would you want to have the government in control of that? Look at Ford that didn't take 1 cent government money.
Joe, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Joe, thank you for your call.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Not too bad. I listened to that speech last night, and according to Obama, illegals won't be covered by this health insurance plan, but they could still go to the ER. Now, isn't that one area where it's raising the cost of health care?
Joe, what happened last night was we've been told the figure of uninsureds is 47 million. The president last night said 30 million. He left out 17 million illegal aliens or people who are here legally with a green card, for example, that choose not to get insurance. I mean, that sucked the breath out of the chamber. When he went to 30 million, we all looked at ourselves and said, what's he talking about?
Yeah, I understand that. But you know what I don't understand? Now, if I get in an accident and I go to the ER room and I don't have insurance, they're going to fine me $3,800. And I'll probably get a $10,000 bill from the ER. But if I'm illegal, I could just go to the ER room. It's not going to cost me a dime.
Well, what it is, it doesn't cost the illegals a dime because they just don't pay the bill.
Well, yeah.
Somebody like you would have to pay the bill.
I'm going to get a $10,000 bill from the ER.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, since I didn't have insurance, and I'm an American citizen, they're going to fine me $3,800. Now, you tell me if that's right.
No, of course it's not right. You mean under H.R. 3200?
Yeah.
That's correct. In fact,
I understand. I'm an American citizen paying taxes. If I don't have health insurance or insurance, I'm going to get fined $3,800.
That's correct.
And if I'm illegal, I can go to the ER room and get treated, and I can walk out there without paying a dime.
That's correct, because they have no way of following you and getting the money from you. That's correct.
Now, the Medicare situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken, what, $500 billion out of Medicare?
$500 to $600 billion, and he says that we can save all this money through the so-called waste, fraud, and abuse. And that slogan's been thrown all over Washington, and it never gets rid of waste, fraud, and abuse.
Well, this is what I'm getting at. If there's that much waste and abuse in Medicare, why don't you take care of that now?
Joe, that's exactly the point.
That much money, if you save that much money, maybe people on Medicare don't have to get all these supplements.
That's correct.
What Medicare doesn't pay.
That's correct. I was listening to Governor Rendell today from Pennsylvania talking about savings, and he said, well, the state of Pennsylvania passed a law to really watch the rate of infections that sets in at hospitals. And he said the state of Pennsylvania has been able to save over $300 million in what's got to be Medicaid payments just this past year. And I turned to my wife, because we were driving in this morning, and I said, and Frieda said, well, why do you need the federal government to do what you're already doing? These are simply best practices that I know that hospitals, and I was with a team of surgeons just 2 weeks ago, who have come up with a system within their own practice of how they're saving literally millions of dollars a year, billing people less. So these are doctors themselves billing people less because they're more interested in outcomes that are better and cheaper to the patient, because they realize that we're all in this thing together.
Ben, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Ben, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Morning, Ben.
Good morning, Congressman Manzullo and Ken.
Good morning.
Now, I've been listening here, and then the previous caller just called, and he had mentioned about illegals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I both know that illegals are paying taxes of some sort or whatnot, that whether or not they're here legally or illegally, they are paying. Now, what the president said last night, and I know you heard him as well, but you choose not to say anything about it, is that they're going to charge these employers a certain percentage where everyone pays. No one gets off, not Walmart, not anybody, not Home Depot. No one is going to escape putting benefits out there for their people, because they're going to pay a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
These illegals are working for somebody. These people are going to pay. So for you to sit there and allow this to happen, Mr. Manzullo, it's a misrepresentation of what's happening.
I don't understand.
You understand when the president said that for employers to have people without insurance, they're going to have to pay a certain percentage towards the system to make sure that their employees are insured. Is that not what he said?
I think that's what he said, but in turn.
Okay, now if illegals are working, they have to be employed by somebody, and that employer is going to have to pay.
Well, what you're talking about is the fact that the employers should not be hiring illegals, correct?
They should not be, but since they are.
That's correct. But you know what happened? We had a system called E-Verify. That's capital E-V-E-R-I-F-Y.
Mm-hmm.
This allowed the employers the ability to check on whether or not one of their employees was illegal. And the Obama administration eliminated the program. They refused to fund it.
Well, what are you guys doing to make sure that this here funding is pushed forward? Now, what he is saying...
You mean for E-Verify?
Excuse me. When those people go to the emergency room, this is what the previous caller called for,
mm-hmm.
is saying that they're going to get it for free. But if they're working, they're going to have some type of insurance. This is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Okay, you mean if a person is illegal and working, he's going to have insurance through his employer.
That's correct.
That's correct. And that means that an illegal could be the beneficiary of the public option.
And so will
and that, we. And that's why the president really was incorrect in what he said yesterday.
Then we will not have to be paying for it without them contributing. Right now, we're paying for it without any contributions from the employer or their illegals. So what sense does that make?
Well, I'm trying to follow you. First of all, I have big problems with employers who hire people illegally. Second of all, I have big problems with people who enter this country illegally.
Yes, exactly.
And third of all, the benefits that we have for Americans should not be applied across the board people who are in this country illegally.
All right, Ben, I'm going to have to let you go. Congressman, we appreciate...
I think we're on the same page, but yeah. We can...
We appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so much.
Best
of luck. It's